Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for consideration this evening is given to us in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. We'll hear it in a few minutes. The evangelist tells us quite plainly, it came to pass. These words are our text in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. The Christian religion is fundamentally a religion of history. The God of Christianity is the God of history. He created all things. He sustains all things. He stands over all things as the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. He raises up governments. He casts down rulers. He establishes the borders of nations. He fixes the times of their existence. He builds, he uproots and destroys. God is intimately active in the flow of the history of the world from the time when he sent forth his word, let there be light, until the present day. And he continues to be ruler over all, which will be plainly seen when our Lord Jesus comes again in clouds of glory to make visible his rule and reign over all things. Because God acts in real history through real events, what happened in Bethlehem cannot be dismissed as mere religious mythology. From the very beginning, it is all real. A real historical Adam and Eve in a real historical garden, with a real historical serpent who seized power and authority from the rightful ruler which God had established on earth in Adam, plunging the world into the darkness of sin and the shadow of death. But in the face of this, God would not relent. He would not leave mankind to his fate. God sent forth a promise, the promise of punishment for the serpent, the promise of release and freedom for humanity from our bondage to that tyrant and evil foe. I will put enmity between you and the woman, said our Lord, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And on this night, we come together to rejoice at the reality that it came to pass. Christmas is the one day of the year set aside to celebrate the coming to pass of God's promise of a Savior, Christ the Lord. It came to pass that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem us who were under the law. But the arrival of the Christ child was not immediate. Many years passed between the time that this first promise was given to humanity and its final fulfillment in the manger in Bethlehem. God set it in motion when he called forth a man out of Ur of the Chaldees, Abram by name. At that time, he was a pagan who worshipped false gods. But God called to him and said, go from your country, from your family, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you. I, said the Lord, will make you a great nation, and in you and in your offspring, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It took many years before Abram's wife, Sarah, would give birth to Isaac, the son of promise. In fact, Abraham had nearly given up hope. But finally, when he achieved 100 years old, when his wife Sarah was 90, she gave birth to a son, Isaac by name. Now it came to pass that after these things, God tested Abraham. Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, said the Lord, and offer him as a burnt offering. And as we heard, the child was no fool. The fire and the wood are here, he said to his father. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham replied. And it came to pass. Many years later, of course, when the final lamb was raised up on the cross. In the meantime, Isaac was spared. He married and had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Jacob, we hear, has 12 sons because of a famine. His family would settle in Egypt. Some 400 years later, God would fulfill the promise to bring his descendants out of Egypt and settle them in a land which God promised on oath to Abraham many years before. God sent forth Moses to lead the people, and then God raised up Joshua to finally bring them into that promised land. And through all this time, through slavery, through Exodus, through conquest, through settlement, God preserved his promise so that it would come to pass. But the heart of the people remained unchanged. Once they were settled in their land, the wickedness and rebellion of their hearts overcame their sensibilities. In the foolish perversion of sin, which infects every human heart, they demanded a king be placed over them. No longer did they want to be ruled over by God directly. God granted their request. First, he raised up Saul, then David, then Solomon to the throne, assigning to them the promise that through them salvation would come to the world. And if they would hold fast to the covenant and walk in obedience, God would preserve and protect their throne and their kingdom. But the corruption of sin runs deep. No amount of willpower, no amount of effort on our part can overcome it. The kings faltered and failed. Their hearts grew faint and weary. The anxieties and fears of living in a world corrupted by sin overcame each of them. But through it all, God worked to uphold his promise, even when the kings weren't looking for it. Centuries after David, when the kingdom had divided and the kings had long abandoned the ways of God, the Lord sent forth Isaiah the prophet to one king in particular, King Ahaz. The Lord desired to convince Ahaz that his enemies would not triumph. God gave the king a wonderful opportunity. Ask for a sign, said God. Ask for anything at all. Whatever it is, it will be granted, so that you would believe and you would have hope. God desired to convince the king of his goodness and mercy, no matter the cost. But the bitterness of the heart of the king caused him to rebel even further. I will not ask, said the king. He refused to even allow God to prove himself. He refused God's comfort and hope. He refused the blessing of confidence. But the Lord gave a sign anyway, not primarily for the king, but for us, so that we would have hope. We would have confidence in God's word and his promises. A sign that was so impossible and improbable that if it possibly did come to pass, it would be sure and certain proof of the Lord's might and power over creation, and a guarantee of his mercy toward us. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And it came to pass, not in the king's lifetime, but centuries later, when an angel was sent to Mary of Nazareth in Galilee to announce to her, 'You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall give him the name Jesus.' On hearing the news, Mary was surprised. She replied, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And then it came to pass, when Joseph and Mary were in Bethlehem, registering for the census, she brought forth a son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger. It came to pass. The virgin conceived. She bore a son, and the people walking in darkness saw a great light. Those who dwelled in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. For unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given. He is the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his kingdom, there will be no end. He shall sit on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom will be established with justice and judgment. It has come to pass. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has performed it, just as he promised of old. The root of Jesse has sprouted. It took centuries, and much happened in the meantime, but nonetheless it came to pass. When the fullness of time had come, Jesus was born. He grew in wisdom and stature before God and man. And then John the Baptist, from the shore of the Jordan River, pointed to Jesus and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.' The manger is not the end of the story. The child born in Bethlehem came for a purpose, to fulfill what was spoken to Abraham all those centuries before, when Isaac asked, 'Where is the lamb?' Abraham prophesied, 'God will provide for himself the lamb.' And so he did. When on a cross outside of Jerusalem, Jesus was raised up to bear the sins of the world. The holy, innocent one endured the judgment we deserve. And through that death, we receive righteousness and life. The devil who enslaved humanity for all those centuries since the Garden of Eden was conquered, his authority crushed by the heel of our Savior on Calvary's tree, it came to pass. The Lamb was sacrificed. The promise fulfilled. O Bethlehem in Judah, you are by no means the least among the cities of Judah, for in you, the city of David, a Savior is born, who is Christ the Lord. A promise fulfilled. It came to pass, just as the seers and the prophets had long foretold. The Word became flesh. He has dwelt among us. The glory of the Lord has been revealed. And as many as receive him, to whomever calls upon his name and believes in him, he gives the right to be called children of God. He gives us new birth by water and the Word and holy baptism. He makes us his brothers. And because God's promises have proven faithful from Bethlehem to Calvary, we today wait with confidence for what shall yet come to pass when Jesus returns on clouds of glory. And for that day, all of creation waits. What is now broken will be made whole. What has been lost will be found. What is sick will be made well. The dead will be raised, and all flesh shall see it together. And then Christ will gather to himself all who believe on his name to dwell in his kingdom forever without tears, without sorrow, without grief, and without end. This is he whom seers in olden times chanted of with one accord, whom the voices of the prophets promised in their faithful word. And now he shines the long expected. Let creation praise its Lord evermore, because it has come to pass. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.